You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I think it's about time that I put my foot down and remind everyone exactly who the hell I am and exactly what the hell I am capable of.
It's the show that celebrates WWE. It's Gorilla Position.
Hello, you, and welcome to Gorilla Position. Thank you very much for hitting the download button on this, your pro wrestling / sports entertainment podcast of pleasure. My name's James D'Lo, your host and your guide through the wonderful world of WWE. It is Friday, the 22nd of March. Welcome to this week's Double Whammy Superstar Special. Two of the biggest names in the women's division right now in WWE. In fact, all of pro wrestling. We've got not only the EST, Bianca Belair, but we've also got the women's world champ defending against Becky Lynch at WrestleMania, Rhea Bloody Ripley. Two back-to-back interviews for your listening pleasure. Get this episode down your ear throats. Ear throats, terrible. Anyway, I'm not in good form today. I'm tired, I'm stressed, lots going on, but nothing will stand in the way of delivering you some GP goodness. And I shouldn't be too stressed because we've got WrestleMania on the horizon. We are 2 weeks away, well, we're about a week and a half away, I think, until we go. It is going to be a great time in Philly, so make sure you follow us along on social media. At WWGP, the YouTube channel as well. This podcast, just get yourself involved because there's so much fun stuff coming up with some of the biggest names in WWE. Quick shout out to our headline sponsors of GP, WWE 2K24, the all-new video game, by far the best WWE video game of all time, receiving rave reviews far and wide, the highest rated game in the 2K series so far. Go check it out right this very instant. All three versions of the game are out now to buy: the standard edition with Cody on the front, the deluxe edition with Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair on the front. There are two guests on this week's episode. Amazing. Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair, the two cover stars of the deluxe edition of 2K on this very episode. Amazing. It only just dawned on me. And the 40 years of WrestleMania edition as well. Beautiful Jonathan Bartlett artwork. Go follow him, by the way, on social media. Jonathan Bartlett. He's a brilliant, brilliant artist. Does so much cool stuff for WWE. Loads of WWE legends on the front cover. The 40 years of Mania edition. The game is so good. It's really addictive, really challenging. New match types, new modes. It's superb. Cannot recommend it enough. WWE 2K24, available now on PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One and PC. The link to buy is in the podcast description, so go check it out. I was thinking, because, as I said, lots going on, I haven't really had a chance to plan the opening of this WWE Superstar Friday special. So I was thinking, should we, Producer Ben, should we give Kevin Clifton a call? We'll give him a call. We'll give him a little call, shall we? Because he obviously wasn't on Wednesday's episode. And I'm keen to get his thoughts on SmackDown because it was quite a talking point this week.
Yo, yo, yo.
What up, Oos?
What up, Boos?
Yeet. Yeet or no yeet?
Yeet.
Okay, always yeet.
I just can't make it sound very cool.
No, I was going to say, that's the uncoolest yeet I've ever heard in my life.
What's up, Boos? Yeet.
What? Yeah, come on, let's stop now. Have you, you were on Loose Women today, weren't you?
That's right, yeah, yeah. Promoting, everybody's talking about Jamie, but also going on with Stace, which is, we very rarely do anything together. Like, in terms of interviews and stuff.
Well, do you know what? I was just watching the clip, and they labelled the YouTube video Kevin and Stacey's first ever interview as a couple.
Reveal all.
Yeah.
Exclusive.
It was a fun watch. And for our international listeners who don't know what Loose Women is, what would you call it? Like a big, one of the biggest kind of panel discussion, hot topic shows on ITV? Is that what you call it?
Sort of a morning talk show, yeah. A panel of women. Don't they have something in America that's similar? Is it like The View or something like that? I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah, I think you're right. And you've also been in drag a lot in preparation for everyone's talking about Jamie. Are you dressed in drag as we speak?
Not right now. No, I'm just in trousers and a shirt at the moment. But yeah, I've been in drag all week. Rehearsing my scenes, full makeup and wig and dress, and walking about in heels, basically. Yeah,
that was such an unsexy way of me asking what you're wearing, wasn't it?
Yeah. What are you wearing right now?
So I just want to quickly get your thoughts. We're going to make it really quick because we're playing in Bianca Belair and Rhea Ripley's interview on this special podcast episode this week. So a lot to get to. But I just wanted your thoughts on SmackDown, because there was a big discussion with me and Ash and Skillet on Wednesday's episode of GP, where I sort of was a bit honest and I just said, as much as WWE creative is superb at the moment, I feel like there's a few balls being dropped creatively with some of the storylines. For instance, like AJ Styles and LA Knight, two massive stars. AJ, one of the best wrestlers in the world. LA Knight, you know, a massive star, no ceiling for him in terms of popularity and what he could potentially do. But I'm just not really feeling this feud. The Jimmy and Jay stuff hasn't up to this point been where I think it should be. The Bailey and damage control stuff isn't really grabbing me. I just wanted your quick take on SmackDown. Are you really invested in these storylines, or is it just me?
I'm invested in the Bailey storyline, because it all makes sense as a story. I do think they don't seem to get loads of time, or like there doesn't seem to be a lot of focus on it. But then that's because I suppose there is so much focus on, and for good reason, on all the main event stuff with the Bloodline. I mean, the Rock segment, you know, at the beginning of SmackDown, it was amazing, but it took like half the show. So I think there's so much focus on the main event stuff that it probably hasn't been given enough time. I agree with you on the LA Knight and AJ Styles stuff. Because I was thinking about, you know, with Drew turning, for example, turning heel, and all of his sort of stuff about CM Punk and the way he wants to sort of, wants Rollins to focus on him, and da da da, the way he, you know, won't forgive Jey Uso. It's like all of it connects, all the dots connect, and all of it makes sense. It makes sense for why he won't forgive Uso. It makes sense for why he is going after that title at Mania, because it got taken away from him when the fans weren't there. X, Y, and Z. Everything makes sense. And even if like he's being heelish, you understand why. With Styles, I feel like they needed him to turn heel because they wanted him to face LA Knight. So he's going to do the thing. What's the easiest way to have him turn heel? Attack a babyface. Mm. And it's a bit sort of, why? Why did AJ Styles suddenly start attacking good guys? Like, why did he suddenly not want to be around his mates anymore? You know, with the club and all of that. Like, it just... I think they've just decided, well, these are two stars, let's make this happen. But I haven't really had it explained to me what's going on with AJ Styles, I think.
Yeah, the storyline's been very loose, and I think they've put AJ Styles in backstage segments and tried to make him look menacing, and I'm just not buying it. And I think, so interestingly, Matthew Inkster on Twitter has got in touch and said, WBGP, I think the problem with the other SmackDown feud/storylines is that The Rock is taking up, to your point, Kev, is taking up 20 to 25% of the airtime, and the other parts aren't being given the room to breathe on a two-hour show. I don't know if that's necessarily true, because I think we're still getting, you know, long enough segments with the other talents, but it's for me, the storyline beats are just not there. And I think, yeah, AJ and LA Knight specifically is missing the why.
But it's difficult, isn't it? Because, like, if you've got The Rock to play with, and especially this version of The Rock that is doing such great stuff, it's like, you want to use him, and you're heading into, they're billing it as, you know, the biggest WrestleMania of all time, and what a long-term story it's been, and all of this, like using The Rock, you don't want to just not use him, and you want to give him the airtime, and because he's so entertaining as well, so you want to use him as much as possible. But I would understand if some of the, you know, the Baileys and the LA Knights must be thinking, well, imagine the opportunity, you know, what I could do with that kind of time, you know, the story we could tell if we were just given that time. And I would understand it, but also I get that they've got to use The Rock. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, yeah, totally. You just talking about Mania being the biggest of all time reminded me that you, amazingly, given you're the biggest WWE fan I have ever met in my entire life, have never been to a pay-per-view, a premium live event. You've never been to one. So we need to, and I'm putting this out there in the universe now, we need to ensure that at some point this year, because it always clashes with your tours and your shows and your, you know, TV projects, whatever, we've got to get you to a PLE this year, Kev. It's got to be done.
It has to happen. Like, it's bucket list stuff. I mean, obviously Mania, but I haven't been to any of them. I couldn't even make it to Clash at the Castle. Like, I'm always seem to be on tour. Like, I was thinking, you know, when we were relaunching GP, my first thought was, oh my God, what? Imagine if we go to Mania. Turns out I'm probably going to be in like Hull or somewhere doing the show. Everybody's talking about Jamie, so yeah.
We're going to Philadelphia. You're going to Hull and back.
Yeah, exactly. Although that sounds like a build up to a PLE.
Yeah, it does. Hull and back. That's, yeah, that would be good.
Hull in a cell.
Hull in a cell. Very good. Very good, Kev. Okay, well, I'm going to make it my life's mission to get you to a PLE, because I just think you will probably die in a good way.
Yeah, exactly.
And we'll get you front row as well, so you can take in all the action. Maybe be chopped by one of the wrestlers.
Oh my God, amazing. And I would sell it like no one's ever sold before.
Oh, of course you would. You'd milk the moment to the nth degree. It would be embarrassing, if anything.
Yeah. Proper overactor.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Oversell. You'd be HBK versus Hulk Hogan in SummerSlam 2005.
That'd be me. We'd be sat in the front row. By the time that sale's ended, I'll be like up on the balcony somewhere.
Okay, let's leave it there, Kev. I'm going to introduce Bianca Belair and Rhea Ripley, but have a lovely weekend, and we'll see you very soon.
Nice one.
All right, cheers, mate. Love to Stace.
Cheers, love to Kay.
Bye, Lynn.
Bye.
There you go. Kevin Clifton, the man, the ledge. Right, let's get into our two superstar interviews. Going to play them back to back. Who should we start with? Producer Ben?
Let's go with Bianca.
Yeah. Ooh, who still doesn't have a match at WrestleMania. I'm fuming about this. Absolutely fuming about it. Anyway, follow us at WBGP. Subscribe rather on the YouTube channel. Email us hello@wbgp.co.uk. Rate and review the podcast wherever you get your podcast. That kind of stuff really helps us out. And you can subscribe, if I can get my words out, subscribe to the newsletter. Just head to wbgp.co.uk and enter your name and email address. It literally takes 10 seconds to do that. Okay. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy these two superstar interviews. And we shall see you back with a bang next Wednesday when we break down all the action ahead of our trip to Philadelphia. This has been a Starstruck Media production. We'll see you next week. I'm a champion. The EST.
the cover star, no less, of WWE 2K24, deluxe edition, out next week. Very exciting. Bianca Belair, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Yeah. Thank you for joining us in gorilla position.
Yes, right backstage.
So. Yeah, right backstage. So we're backstage in Palm Desert, California. Mm-hmm. We're on the road to WrestleMania, a very exciting road to WrestleMania. The fans are buzzing for it this year. It's so exciting. What does, and I don't know what you're going to say, given what we were just saying before the cameras were rolling, but what does your road to WrestleMania look like? Do all roads lead to Jade Cargill in Philly?
You know, that's the question right now, especially since I didn't win the Royal Rumble and I didn't win the Elimination Chamber, which has kind of been, you know, my road to WrestleMania the past couple of years, or I've been champion, and neither three of those have happened. So at this point, yeah, I'm just trying to figure out how I'm going to get there. I'm hoping I can be there physically, not just like on the poster, but Jade Cargill's name is coming up. I've been seeing Tiffany's name come up.
Oh, yeah.
Because we've been going back and forth. So I think the possibilities are endless. I'm in a position I've never been in before. So like my road to WrestleMania looks a lot different. But I'm just treating it like any other year. Like we were just talking about, like, what did I have for breakfast? I'm still, my diet is like road to WrestleMania. I'm working out like it's road to WrestleMania. I'm staying ready so I don't have to get ready. So whatever opportunity presents itself, I'm taking it on.
Do you diet and kind of train harder when it is the road to WrestleMania?
Yes.
Like, do you take it more seriously when it March, April time?
Of course. Yeah. I mean, I like to think that, like I said, I stay ready so I don't have to get ready. Like, I don't believe in, you know, once an opportunity comes, all of a sudden you see me in the gym or you see me in the ring where I start training because I have this opportunity. I try to stay fit all year long, but being that we don't have an off season, like,
there's no
other sport like wrestling where you usually get an off season, your body gets time to recover. So you can't stay like in this peak top shape all year long. It's just not sustainable. You get burnt out. That happened to me last year. So it took me like 6 months to even like get back to normal to start having the motivation to train again. So I definitely go in and out. I try to stay like at a certain level, but definitely around WrestleMania time, you start, you know, tuning it up because you want to be in the best shape of your life when it comes to WrestleMania.
And so you mentioned Jade. You mentioned Tiffany. Mm-hmm. Have you, I mean, the moment at the Royal Rumble between you and Jade was so incredible and the crowd ate it up. Like, is that, I mean, out of the two, Tiffany or Jade, which one would you choose this year in Philly?
Ooh, I mean, honestly, of course, you know, you saw the reaction with Jade, right? You know, it's Royal Rumble. We didn't say anything. We didn't do anything. We didn't wrestle. We didn't touch each other. And the crowd was going crazy. I think the Instagram post on WWE had like 9 million views within 2 days.
Did it?
So, I mean, that alone just shows the type of magic that we can create by just standing in the ring. So imagine the magic that we can create, whether, you know, it's a singles or a tag, who knows what can happen. I think just the two of us being in the ring, people are just buzzing for it and is magic to be like made. I don't know if that's this year WrestleMania. I don't know if it's next year WrestleMania because, you know, she was in Rumble. Now, when is she going to come back? So I'm ready for either or.
I got goosebumps when you were talking about that moment just then. 9 million views in 2 days. That's incredible. And proof that, like, sometimes less is more. As you say, you didn't touch, just the face off.
Yeah. I mean, it just shows how big it can be, you know? Boy. So I'm excited for it. I think it's amazing, you know, two women standing in the ring. We both kind of represent, like, the same thing, just strong, powerful women, empowerment, being like beautiful but graceful at the same time. You know, I think that we've had a moment before in the ring with, you know, me and Sasha, WrestleMania 37, where it was the first two black women to ever main event WrestleMania. Well, now, you know, it's a chance for this to happen again, but now it's like it's not the first. So I'm excited for times when it's not the first anymore. It's just becoming the norm, and this is just what's happening. Yeah. And I just think it's magic.
Yeah, it is magic. Talking of magic, I mean, I talked about the excitement around WrestleMania, the build-up to the show, and WWE in general at the moment. All the shows are sold out. Fans are going wild. There's a special energy in the air. We know Vince is gone for good. You know, it's new creative leadership, a new kind of, I would say, an undeniable cohesion when it comes to creative. I'm interested to know backstage, what sort of personal differences have you seen in this kind of new TKO WWE era?
You know, I was super excited for the TKO. I was actually got to go to New York to be part of whole thing. So it's exciting times. You know, I'm seeing a lot of the girls that I was in NXT with. They're now on the main roster, in the same locker rooms together. It's feeling like I'm back in NXT again. It's a whole new generation of women that are coming through from NXT, like the Tiffany's, and you're starting to see that, you know, more women on TV and being able to showcase themselves. It's exciting. We're doing more things outside of wrestling as well, going into the mainstream. You know, my husband and I, we have our Hulu show, Love and WWE, Bianca Montez. So, you know, I feel like we're kind of going outside of the wrestling bubble, and we're getting to, you know, really get more eyes on the product and show them how much wrestling has evolved. And I think that we're all just excited for the possibilities. Like, it's the future right now. And I'm just glad that I get to be a part of it and to see, like, what is going to happen with it.
It's so cool. So much going on, obviously. You have an incredibly busy schedule.
Yeah.
You know, you're making towns. I mean, you drove here, you just parked up, came straight to this interview, you got a show tonight. You're also a stepmom to young children. How is the kind of work-life balance being a WWE superstar nowadays?
There's not one day that looks the same. Every day looks different. Usually my husband's with me on the road. This weekend he's not, so I'm having to do all the 3-hour and 4-hour drives by myself, and I'm usually like the passenger princess. So, you know, I drove overnight. I woke up this morning. I worked out. I came here, and I'll be driving again overnight. But it really is hard to balance it all, because, like I said, it's hard to get into a routine or be consistent with something. You just kind of have to be able to adapt and at the same time make time for family. I always say, you know, I'm grateful for our family that we have, because they really do share us with the WWE universe. You know, we give so much here, and sometimes we don't have enough to sometimes spend time with them or be able to see them as much as we want to, because we have to sometimes travel to them, but we don't have the time to travel to them, so they have to come to us. And it's just, it's a lot trying to balance it all, but I'm somebody, I tend to put a lot on my plate. I'm making gear and doing appearances, and home. Yeah, I'm making gear in the airport. I'm making gear in the hotel. Wow. But luckily I have my husband that's with me, that we get to do this together. So, the times that he is on the road with me, but it's a lot. But our families really do, they share us with WWE.
On these long drives, what's your kind of go-to tunes or podcasts? What do you listen to?
Ooh, I'm kind of all over the place. My friends have been telling me to do audiobooks because I like to read, but I don't like to do audiobooks because I want to, like, read it. But I listen to a mixture of Beyonce, J. Cole, a lot of gospel, Kirk Franklin. Like, my playlist is kind of all over the place. Like, last night I was listening to, like, slow songs like Mariah Carey, My All. I was listening to Beyonce, like, just slow songs. I think I can sing in the car, so I'm singing at the top of my lungs.
Yeah.
but I listen to some podcasts, like YouTube podcasts, like Crystal Renee. I love her podcast right now that she's doing on YouTube. But sometimes I actually don't listen to anything. I like to, like, ride in silence sometimes, because usually when I'm in the car with my husband, who's yelling and screaming and singing all the time, and Dawkins, who's talking about sports. So sometimes some nice peace and quiet calms my mind.
Yeah. I mean, funny, it's weird you didn't say Gorilla Position podcast. That's a bit strange, but that's obviously your go-to.
Sometimes I need a break, you know? I'm around wrestling all the time, you know?
Is that a bit much? Like, is your husband's a wrestler as well?
Yeah.
Is it a bit much?
It is, but sometimes I try to turn it off, and then we'll end up watching a movie, and then we pause the movie because it's a fight scene. I'm like, oh, rewind that. I wonder if I can do that move in the ring. Or we're trying to shop for, you know, just to get out of the wrestling bubble. I'm like, oh, maybe I can wear that for a promo. Everything always goes back to wrestling.
So it is your world.
Yes.
And that quite nicely leads me onto my next question. So, like My Rise, the mode in WWE 2K24, you started in the Performance Center.
Mm-hmm.
You're now a legit WrestleMania main eventer. So you've had this incredible career path, but it wasn't always your plan.
Mm-mm.
So talk to me about that. And like, presumably you believe in destiny now because
definitely
this has become everything to you, right?
Yeah, my whole story is just what's for you will always be for you. I didn't really watch wrestling growing up. My brother watched it. He was loved wrestling. Had all the video games, all the action figures. But I didn't really watch it. The only time I watched was when, like, we fought over the remote and he got to watch what he wanted to watch. But I pretty much played every sport in the book growing up. But I kind of stuck to track and field. I ran track in college. I was a hurdler. And then after college, I was just like, I've been an athlete since I was five. Like, what do I do now? So then I found CrossFit.
Yeah.
And I started powerlifting and doing CrossFit. And I was like, I've been training so hard all my life, I just want to have fun with this. So I started making my own outfits. I was out there power cleaning and pressing in a tutu. I was wearing like these capes that I would come out and I would like turn a cartwheel before I did a power clean and press. And I would take the cape off. So essentially I was wearing entrance pieces. I was grabbing the microphone and talking to the audience and doing giveaways.
So that performance side was always in you.
It was always in me. And I don't know. I was using social media at the time when social media, like Instagram first came out to really like brand myself. Not even realizing what I was doing. Like people were coming to the events to see, you know, what was I going to wear? I was making some of the girls mad, which is funny because they were like, if you're not power cleaning 500 pounds, why are you wearing bows and tutus? So I was like, look at me now. But so Mark Henry saw a video of me doing this. And
yes, it was Mark Henry, wasn't it?
It was Mark Henry. Amazing. And he was commenting on my picture saying, you know, check your DMs. And I was like, oh, that's fake. That's not the real Mark Henry. My nephew actually texts me. He's like, Mark, that's Mark Henry. No, that's the Mark Henry. So I check my DM and he's saying, I saw this video of you. Have you ever thought of being a wrestler? You have the look. You have the personality. You're basically wearing wrestling gear. You're wearing wrestling entrance pieces. You're cutting promos basically on the mic. I can get you a tryout if you want to try it. And I actually started watching Total Divas because my mama was the one who texted me. She's like, are you seeing what these female wrestlers are doing? This isn't what I thought female wrestling was. And so it kind of got me interested. And so Mark Henry, he got me a tryout. He was like, I can't get you hired, but I can get you a tryout. Just go be yourself. Do what you're doing out there in CrossFit. Did the tryout. I did two tryouts. And I got hired in 2016. So I walked in, had no idea what I was walking into. At the time, I felt like I was still in somebody else's dream because it was like a lot of people that were there that had been wanting to do this since they were like kids. And here I am, no idea I wanted to do it. But it's crazy that I never imagined myself being a wrestler. And now I can't imagine myself not being one.
It's so mad that you were essentially putting all the pieces of the puzzle of being a pro wrestler together without even realizing it.
Yep. Yep. My mom always says she, like when she first found out that I was going to do the tryout, she was like, are you sure you want to do this? But now that I do it, she always says this, you were born to do this because wrestling has taken every piece of your talent, your personality, everything about you. And you're able to use your full potential from your creativity, you know, from fashion, being able to make gear, your athleticism, liking to talk in front of people. I always wanted to take public speaking classes in college. So she's like, you were born to do this.
Amazing. And God bless Mark Henry.
Yes.
Mark Henry, just
he
what
has
a guy.
Eye for talent.
And now, for God's sake, you are the cover star of the deluxe edition of WWE 2K24. How does that feel? Like, when you found out, like, be honest, were you like, good, I deserve this, I'm the EST, or was it a real shock?
No, it was a shock.
Was it?
Yeah, and it was actually my husband was the one the year before. I was going to go do the 2K video game commercial, and he's like, you're going to be on the cover of the video game. And I'm like, no, I'm not.
He called it, did he?
I'm not, but he called it the year before.
Right, yeah.
And I was like, no, I'm not. And he's like, yes, you are. Yes, you are. So I go to the commercial. In the back of my mind, I'm thinking like, am I? Maybe he's right. And he's hyped me up. And I get there and I'm like, who's the cover? And they tell me, I'm like, oh. And then I'm texting him. I told you I wasn't going to be on the cover. Don't hype me up like that. Don't do that to me. And then fast forward the next year, I'm going to another 2K video game photo shoot commercial thing. And I walk in and they tell us the news. No, you're going to be on the cover. Yeah. So I genuinely was shocked, excited. The first thing I wanted to do was call my husband. And before I can even tell him the news, because he heard how excited I was, he was like, he told me the news. He's like, you're on the cover, right? So no, I was very shocked, super excited, but it's hard to put it into words. You know, the fact that you're on the cover of a video game, you look at everybody else who's ever been on the cover, and to have your name in that conversation with them and be on it with Rhea Ripley as well, and us get to share this cover. It's really cool. It's representation for women. It's representation for people of color. It's just, it's unprecedented to have an all-female cover and to be the woman that's doing that along with Rhea. It's just cool, man. It's cool.
Yeah, so cool. And is it... Do you and the other female talents have the conversations about, no, I think it's going to be you. No, I think it's going to be you. Like, is that something you talk about?
Not really. Well, I've never had that conversation, I guess, because I never really thought that it would happen. Like, I remember having a conversation with my husband being like, what are my other goals here? I'm like, you know, it would be really cool if I could be on the cover of a video game. So yeah. Now I am. So now I'm like thinking of a new goal. Like, well, maybe one day me and my husband can do it together.
Oh, yeah.
But not really. The only conversation we really had was afterwards when we walked into the locker room and the girls were saying how amazing and how cool this is and how they feel like it's big now, but in a couple of years and later on down the line, how big, even bigger this is going to be.
Yeah. Speaking of Montez, he is a natural born performer,
mm-hmm.
incredible charisma, phenomenal in ring, obviously. Has the charisma, I believe, of someone like The Rock, genuinely. Mm-hmm. When is his big singles push going to happen? You must talk about it at home. He must be frustrated.
He doesn't really like to talk about it a lot because he likes to play things cool. But when we do talk about it, I'm always hyping my husband up. And it's not just because it's my husband. I tell him all the time, like, I'm saying this, but it's not because I'm your wife. Like, everybody sees this. It's going to happen for him. I always tell him his time is coming, and I always tell him it's, you know, delayed is not the same thing as denied. You know, it's just delayed right now.
Oh, I like that.
His time is going to come. And I think that he has so much potential. And the only thing that's holding him back is just the opportunity. Mm. Once the opportunity comes and he's going to hit the ground and he's going to take off. And I can't wait. You know, I always tell him that, you know, WWE, it's a mixture of like talent, good luck, and timing. He has the talent. Yeah. And now he just like needs the good luck and the timing on his side. So the only thing holding him back is an opportunity, but it's going to come.
Absolutely.
For him is going to be for him. And it's always best to not force it and rush it.
Yeah.
Because when it happens, like, it makes the journey worth it.
I can't wait. Very, very quickly. Mercedes Moné, you shared the dance floor with her on the big stage of WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. An amazing moment for you and her. And as you say, you know, young women around the world who watch that match. Do you want the legit boss back in WWE? And is this a conversation you've had with her?
I've had this conversation with her. I don't know what she wants or what she wants to do. I just want what's best for her and what she wants to do with her. I'm no one to tell someone what they should do. What I will say is that we created some magic in the ring at WrestleMania 37. And... I think that there was so much more magic to be made, not even just with us inside the ring, but with me being champion at the time and the tag team champions. I just saw it as so much representation that was on the verge of happening and so much greatness that was going to happen. So the fact that, you know, it was all halted at that point, I would love for it to pick back up one day and take off. So
yeah.
I think we didn't even touch the tip of the iceberg with what could
exactly.
be done. So
give her a year in the other place and then she'll come home. Finally, finish your story. It's a big theme of WWE. It's the slogan for the new video game 2K24. What does that phrase mean to Bianca Belair? What is there left for you to achieve if you could write that final chapter? A big dream match, perhaps?
Yeah, I mean, it's when I think about finishing my story, I think sometimes when people look at my career here, they're like, oh, she's accomplished so much. And I feel like they think that I've been here longer than I have. This is going on my fourth year on main roster. I've just accomplished a whole lot in a very short amount of time.
Yes, you have.
So I've only been here for 4 years, guys.
Crazy.
But there's so much more that I want to do. I would love to... you know, I think everybody, of course, wants to go to WrestleMania. Many at WrestleMania wants to win a title at WrestleMania. I would love to have a singles match at WrestleMania that's not a title match, because that doesn't really happen for the women. I think that it's a time now where our roster is so stacked and we have so much talent to where we can have women's singles matches that still mean so much even without a title on the line.
Because of the story
and the caliber of the women that are in the ring. Like, it could have happened in the past, but it definitely can happen now. I would love to... I've main evented WrestleMania for the night one. I would love to main event WrestleMania for night two. Because I think that when that happens, you know, that's a whole new, you know.
Yeah, it is.
It's a whole new level to that. But there's so much. I think in WWE, it's hard to sometimes have goals. I just want to capitalize on any opportunity that comes my way. I have never been able to get the tag team titles before. One of my goals that's not even wrestling related or title related is to just have more fun.
Okay.
Last year, I feel like I grinded so much and I worked so hard. I still want to work hard, but I feel like I didn't take advantage of like making sure that what I'm doing, I'm having fun while I'm doing it. That should be the main goal. So I want to have more fun no matter what I do. And I also want to be, I want my husband to be on the cover of the 2K video game, but I want to be on the cover of the 2K video game with my husband too. And I want us to be champion at the same time.
Yeah, very nice.
Well, Bianca Belair, congratulations on all your success, massive success so far. And going forward, I hope you can take a step back and really enjoy it.
Thank you. I'm Mate. Enjoying it right now.
Boom.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. I'm a champion. Women's World Champion.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Rhea bloody Ripley, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. Welcome back to Gorilla Position. It's lovely to have you on the show again today. First and foremost, Neighbours is back. Please tell me you're across the big relaunch on Prime Video.
You know what? I didn't even know because I'm so out of touch with everything, but I'm glad that you told me some good news, you know?
I feel like this has come full circle, finally.
It has, thank goodness.
Thank goodness. Now, I remember I interviewed you once and I asked how you were and you said, yeah, I'm fine. I have just vomited, but I'm fine. And I was so impressed with how breezy and cool you were about the whole thing. Because if I ever vomit, it's like the worst thing that ever happens in the world and it ruins my day. I assume you haven't vomited today.
Not today, but it's really funny because like once again, full circle, I legit vomited yesterday.
Did you? What is going on, Rhea?
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like everything just seems to be happening when we talk to each other.
I feel like maybe when you know you're going to do an interview with me, you vomit.
I mean, I didn't even know this time. Maybe. That's hilarious.
So weird.
Oh my God. Maybe you just always catch me on one of my cheat days or like the day after my cheat day.
Is that what it is? That's maybe what it is. Okay.
Yeah.
So listen, we're approaching a year of you being Women's World Champion. By the time you meet Becky Lynch at WrestleMania, you will have surpassed that milestone. So congratulations on that. But how do you feel about this run? What does it mean to you personally from your amazing match with Charlotte last year at WrestleMania to the mammy we see on screen now? What does this all mean to you?
It means the world. Like, this has honestly been the biggest year of my entire career. It's something that's going to help my legacy stay strong within the WWE and wrestling in general. And it's something that's really opened me up in this business in a way where my confidence has grown. The person that I am has grown. Everything about Rhea Ripley and myself entirely has just like gotten so much better. Like, I've really taken that step. And if other things happen within this year, we might not have seen the Rhea Ripley that we see today. So I'm so glad that everything has happened for a reason. And I've been able to grow in front of everyone's eyes and get better, not only in the ring, but get better on the microphone as well. That's something that I had always been really terrified of doing. And I feel like being a part of the Judgment Day and being on this platform where I have been out there with the guys more and been more in the men's division, I've had more of a chance to speak on the microphone and get used to that. So that's another thing that has helped me grow. And yeah, this last year, it really has been massive for Rhea Ripley. So it's probably one of the best years of my career.
Well, it definitely comes across. It looks like you're having so much fun with the Judgment Day team. And I think back to I think I first met you in Blackpool around one of the NXT UK shows. And to see the person you were there to what we see on screen now, it's extraordinary. You must feel so proud about how far you've come.
Yeah, it's been a wild ride, but everything has happened for a reason and everything has meant so incredibly much to me. Like, there's been obviously downs and there's been high points as well, but it's wild to think that I've already lived over here in America for like 7 years, pretty much, nearly 7 years. So everything that I've been able to accomplish and the history that I've been able to make over that time has been absolutely wild. And I'm blessed to be in the position that I am. And I'm glad that I never gave up along the way. Because like I said, there was always down points, but I like to say that life's like a roller coaster. There's downs and there's ups, but at the end of the day, it's a fun ride. And everything's happened for a reason. Being a part of NXT UK, helping build that brand, finding my confidence over there to then go to NXT and take over NXT, and then obviously Raw and SmackDown as well. It's been wild, but it's been a lot of fun.
Have you ever heard the song Life is a Roller Coaster by Ronan Keating?
You know what? I actually haven't. I didn't realize that was a song.
It's a terrible song, but you should check it out because it's quite fitting.
All right.
Now you've just we're talking about the incredible journey you've been on. You've just had an incredible journey to Perth, your home country. First time back there in 7 years, is that right?
First time back in 7 years to compete.
Wow. So you had your family in your front row, a legit main event spot at a PLE in a stadium. How was that experience? And did it meet your expectations? Because that must have been something you sort of had in your head for a while.
Yeah, it definitely met all my expectations. It was something that meant so much to me. Like, the last time that I competed over there was 7 years ago, and it was for Riot City Wrestling. And I left as the champion, the women's champion for Riot City. And it's wild to come back not only as a WWE superstar, but as the women's world champion and be on this dominant run and help put Australian wrestling on the map, and to come back and finally have that big moment while having all these accolades and go in there and defend my title against arguably one of the best in the women's division, Nia Jax. Like, I was in such a threatening position with my title run because she is so strong. So to have such a perfect opponent in such a perfect area, everything just sort of worked out so nicely for me, and it told a great story. And I tried my best not to get emotional on camera, because honestly, coming out and doing my entrance and seeing all the Australian flags and hearing how excited everyone was and how hyped they were to not only have WWE come back to Australia, but to have homegrown talent on the show, it was a very heartwarming moment. And there was a couple of times where I had to scream or shake my head just to make sure that the tears wouldn't come out my eyes. But once the match was all said and done, and I got the opportunity to sort of take it all in while being out there, because a lot of the time I don't get to take it all in. I'm normally the go, go, go and just get it done so I can feel good afterwards and think about it later. But I really didn't want to do that with this specific PLE, because this was my WrestleMania before WrestleMania. This is one of the biggest highlights of my career. So to actually have that moment after the match, because we were the main event, so I could be out there longer and just sort of sit in the ring and take it all in, it's wild. It was such a lovely feeling. And it gave me a weird flashback of my last match in Australia too, where I had my championship and I knelt down in the middle of the ring. I had all the RCW crew out there cheering me on, all the fans cheering me on, and I just started crying. And it was sort of the same because I was in the middle of the ring with my championship, had my family around the ring, had some of the indie wrestlers around the ring that I could see, and I had all of Australia cheering me on again. It was just a bigger atmosphere, but it felt like everything that I had worked so hard for over the past nearly 11 years has all accumulated to that moment, and it meant the absolute world to me.
Well, you fully deserved it. You really, really did. It was amazing.
Thank you.
Another thing that's amazing is you being chosen as one of the cover stars for WWE 2K24. As we record, I mean, you're laughing. It's crazy the ride you've been on. Life is a roller coaster, etc. But the game, as we record this now, the game is out tomorrow. The deluxe edition with you and Bianca on the front. What does it genuinely mean to you to be chosen as the cover star?
It's nuts. It's absolutely nuts. It's the first cover where there's only female talent on it. That's history making. Bianca and I get to be the first ever cover, and it's the deluxe cover, but still just cover in general, where it's two female superstars without any males. And I think that is so incredible. Like, we've seen Becky and Roman on it before, but to be the first one to share it with Bianca, out of all people, someone who I've been in NXT with, I've been on the main roster with, I've seen her struggles, I've seen her accomplishments, it's amazing to share that with her specifically as well. But to know that we get to be a part of this history-making event, and it's literally on the cover of a video game for 2K. It's just, it's absolutely nuts. If I could go back in time and tell my younger self that I would accomplish all these wild things, I would not have believed it at all. It's part of the legacy that I'm trying to leave behind, and I'm honored to know that they had chosen me and Bianca specifically, because it means that we're making an impact here within the WWE, and we're proving to everyone that we can do everything just like the men can as well. And that's all that we really want. We want to set the WWE up for greatness within the women's division for the future as well. And I feel like this is just another step on that. So I'm very proud and blessed to be part of the cover with Bianca Belair.
You're immortalized forever now, basically, on the cover of a video game.
Exactly.
It's incredible. And what match are you gonna what match are you gonna create when the game's out tomorrow? What's gonna be your go-to match?
Oh, you know what? I think I might do some practice runs with possibly myself and Becky Lynch at WrestleMania. See how that goes.
Well, so your rating in the game is 96. Which is just one below Roman Reigns, by the way, for God's sake. And but that's slightly higher than Becky Lynch. So what do you think about that?
You know, sucks to suck.
You can say that about Becky Lynch. Mummy is always on top. Okay, so speaking of the man versus Rhea Ripley, this is the biggest women's match in wrestling that can be promoted right now, I believe. So it's going to be incredible. Big expectations from the fans. Do you feel pressure, not just from a match and physicality standpoint, but also telling a good story going in?
Yeah, of course. The whole build towards a match is the story beforehand. With no story, I feel like, yes, you can still have a great match. I mean, going off of myself and Charlotte at WrestleMania last year, the match itself was absolutely phenomenal. The story building up, it was lacking in some places. So I feel like going into WrestleMania 40, the whole main thing is the story and the build up to build this match so it can be even bigger than what we expect. Yes, I want to have a fantastic match, and I feel like putting Becky and I in there would make such a perfect combination for a fantastic match. We have great chemistry. We wrestled each other in NXT until Shayna Baszler and her little goon squad caused a DQ, and I thought that that was going fairly well. And we've both grown so much since then as well. So I know that we're not going to disappoint when it comes to that match, but I feel like the build-up towards WrestleMania 40 is where it's really going to be as well.
Yeah. And so stories are such a big thing in WWE and long-term storytelling. What differences have you seen in this new era of WWE and the more kind of, I would say, cohesive, creative vision of Triple H? Have you really noticed, have the talents really noticed those changes backstage?
Yeah, I feel like things actually follow through to the end now, which is ideal. And I feel like we also acknowledge NXT a lot more, which is fantastic because NXT, a lot of the time, talent from NXT would get brought up and it's like their whole past in NXT would just get erased and forgotten and they'd get built as something completely different, something that the fans don't understand because they do watch all the products. So they're like, why is this happening? So like actually acknowledging the past while moving on to the future is one of the biggest things. And I think that's a massive storyline thing as well. And story, it helps with a lot of different things. Like, and also I feel like with build-ups to the PLEs, it makes the videos so much better as well. Cause now we're acknowledging all the little aspects of everyone's career and all their accomplishments, no matter where they were within the company. And even sometimes they go further than that and to their accomplishments outside of the company. Like, we're just, I feel like the stories are getting more detailed and they're actually following through to a very fantastic spot where it's more ideal, where before I feel like it was very choppy and like start-stoppy in some ways. I know that for me it was very difficult because I felt like people didn't understand me and my character, so they didn't really know which direction to push me and what to do with me, where now I feel like I'm on the right path, and obviously I am because I've had the best year of my career. So just things like that, I feel like the stories are definitely more in-depth and elongated, which I enjoy, and I know other people will definitely enjoy too.
It's really validating to hear you say that because, you know, us fans watch it and we had those issues with past creative and we've really seen a difference. So now, you know, to know that talents backstage feel the same is really nice. Talk to me quickly about Dom. Watching him and his star grow over the last year, becoming so incredibly over, has been the most joyous thing. And you obviously play a huge part in that. Is there something you can tell us about Dom Mysterio that our listeners might not know about?
I feel like he's a fairly open book, to be completely honest. Oh man, something that you guys don't know. I guess most of the time he doesn't know what the hell he's doing, but I feel like most people can pick up on that. I don't know. Dom's really funny. I feel like people know the main things about Dom. Like, he loves chicken tenders. He has to have ranch, can't have ketchup, can't have mayo, it has to be ranch.
Good boy.
He's got the diet of a child. It's fantastic. I mean, that's like the main thing, but I feel like a lot of people know that already. Other than that, he's grown so much over the past year, year and a half, that it's been really wonderful to watch and wonderful to be a part of. Like, I'm so incredibly proud of him. And the one thing that makes me laugh about him is he's so chill. Like, he's so extremely chill. So like, when he goes out there, most of the time he's just not entirely sure what is going on, but I feel like that makes it so perfect because he's just organically reacting to things and doing things because he genuinely doesn't know what is happening. Bless his heart. I really do love Dom.
Bless his heart. So something, you know, it's proof's in the pudding. Judgment Day is so popular. Everyone's talking now about, is Dom in the doghouse with you? Are you trying to distance yourself from him and the group? Can you shed any light on that?
I'm not trying to distance myself. Mommy's got business that she needs to attend to. I feel like a lot of the time I've been focusing more on my boys and helping them out. And that was a massive problem for people. And now that I'm actually focusing on my main problems, which is Becky Lynch, Nia Jax, Liv Morgan, all these women in the women's division, people are like, oh no, she's distancing herself. I feel like people can never be happy with what I'm doing. But Dom's not in the doghouse. Judgment Day isn't in the doghouse. I'm obviously I wish that Dom would talk to me first before, you know, challenging Gunther of all people. But I'm still there for the boys. They're still my family, and I still love every single one of them. Mommy's just got to deal with her women's division a little bit as well. And I think it's about time that I put my foot down and remind everyone exactly who the hell I am and exactly what the hell I am capable of.
So your career is like the My Rise mode in WWE 2K24, like thinking about when I first met you back in Blackpool to where you are now, legit WrestleMania main event caliber star. How do you react to being the biggest women's star in wrestling right now? Because that's undeniably what you've made yourself over the last 12 months.
Oh, I appreciate it. It's crazy. I don't really know. I don't really take it in too often because I feel like I'm going to overwhelm myself by thinking that. I feel like my thought process keeps me fairly humble in a way that I think that I could just get better and I'm not the best that I can be. But it is wild to know how big my platform has risen to being one of the faces of Raw and WWE, where I was I was pretty much on most segments of Monday Night Raw at one point. I was doing backstage promos, I was doing matches, I was out there for the boys' matches, I was doing absolutely everything. So to know that the company trusts me with so much is so incredibly amazing. It just makes me feel like all the hard work is like accomplished this. And I feel like I'm finally in the good books and I'm finally getting the opportunities that I've wanted for so long. But to know that like I've won so many things in the past year, like best match at WrestleMania, overall female, all these different things, to know that I've actually managed to do this is absolutely insane. It makes me very, very proud, makes me happy. And I don't really know what other words to describe the feeling. It's very overwhelming, but at the same time, I know that I could be so much better than what I'm doing right now. We've just scratched the surface and I still have a lot of learning to do. And I can't wait to see what I'm like in the next few years so I can look back at this moment and be like, wow, like I did so well that year, but look how far I've come since then as well.
Oh, only scratching the surface. That's amazing. Okay, very quickly, finally, what does finishing your story mean? What does that mean to Rhea Ripley? It's a phrase and a slogan used in 2K, in WWE a lot. What does finish your story mean to you if you could write that final chapter?
Oh, taking over the WWE.
Oof.
Taking over absolutely everything and doing it with my Judgment Day family. For me, finishing the story means finishing goals in a way. For me, I don't have goals. I don't like to set goals because I feel like once you get to your goal, you have nowhere else to go. So when it comes to finishing your story, I guess that's going to be the end of my career, where hopefully I am standing tall within the WWE, hopefully with my boys in the Judgment Day, and we've just taken over the entire bloody company.
Love it. What a way to wrap up. Rhea Ripley, genuine congratulations on everything. I hope you enjoy the road to WrestleMania. Good luck in Philly. And hopefully I'll see you soon and you won't be sick.
Hopefully.
Thank you.
Thank you. Gorilla position. I'm a champion.